and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, us. It's me, Ariel, and...
me, Raylene.
Wow. That's right. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You got the hosts, and we're doing our show.
good start.
Imagine if we weren't here.
Yeah, you got some different co-hosts, unexplained. I am in Kingston, Ontario today.
This is world traveler.
Every episode I'm just going to record from a different location now. I'm in Kingston visiting my boyfriend's family, and we just went to a restaurant, like a breakfast joint.
Oh, nice.
Got a bunch of food. I'm so full. I don't have like a desk here or anything, so I'm just laying in bed full of food. I feel very content with life.
It's a good way to be.
How are you doing? How's life? I know things are kind of smoky over there.
Yeah, things are really smoky in BC. It's not good. Just stepping outside to like go get food or whatever, it's like, oh gosh, I feel sick within seconds of being out here. Like, it's not nice at all. So spending lots of time inside on this long weekend. But I also just ate food. I just had A&W, so I'm feeling good.
Did you get a Beyond Meat burger?
Well, of course.
Hell yeah.
It was delicious.
Beyond Meat, sponsor us. We love you.
We really love A&W Beyond Meat burgers. Thank you very much.
I found out that A&W Canada is a completely separate entity to A&W America.
Really?
So even though they have the same name and some of the same menu items, it's actually a completely different franchise, and they like split off back in the 60s or something.
What?
And so there's all of these things that like you and me think of as like A&W,
yeah,
that America doesn't have. Like, they don't have the family.
What?
So like, when I know, I know.
Americans are going to be like, what do you mean the family?
When you go to A&W, everyone has their like favorite order, and it's like, I want the buddy burger. I want the uncle burger. I want the teen burger.
Yeah.
And like, there's, ever since we were kids, there's this like family, there's little cartoons and the mama burger. And it's like, that one has a lot of vegetables or whatever. And it's like, the teen burger has bacon. And like, you just get to know the A&W family. I don't know how else to put it, but that's not a thing in the States. They don't have that.
Shocking.
Which I'm just like, what? That's nuts to me.
That really is shocking news.
It is shocking news.
Wow. I don't know how I'm going to continue with the show. This is like really bowled me over this morning.
Oh, man. Well, I think we're going to have a fun episode today, ladies and gentlemen. Our last episode was our big book haul. That was a really fun episode to film because obviously, as you guys heard, I was in Toronto and Raylene had thrifted a bunch of books. So we had a lot of books to haul. Well, heck, we've got some more to haul today. You know what? I warned everyone that would happen. I did.
Yeah, like,
I
you was weren't like, done.
I'm,
you obviously
I'm not
weren't
done.
Finished.
I'm not back home.
14 was not enough.
Exactly. I'm not back home yet. More had to be purchased. Actually, one of the books is so exciting that I keep telling strangers about this book that I bought.
Oh!
Just like, I'll like meet somebody, like one of Connor's friends, and I'll be like, so you won't believe this book I got.
They're like, I do not care.
But yeah, we wanted to mention here at the top one tiny moment of housekeeping. We are on, this is episode 95, right, Raylene?
Yes,
that
if
we're
my
recording?
Calculations are correct, this is 95.
So we are only 5 episodes away from episode 100,
woo-hoo!
Which I feel like that's a podcast milestone.
Absolutely,
you know?
That's a lot of episodes.
It really is. I can't believe it. Also, when you think about the fact that they're all like an hour long.
I was just going to say, we've spent over 100 hours, well,
just
at
talking,
that point,
to, each
talking
other.
To each other. That's like multiple days worth of audio. That's crazy.
That's really, it was like the other day, somebody asked me, how many YouTube videos have you made? And I was like, oh my God, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't even... And I went, it was like 600 on my channel.
Yeah.
And like, I've made videos on other channels and stuff. And I was like, I can't believe I've made 600 YouTube videos, over 100, 600 YouTube videos, 100 podcast episodes. I mean, that's shocking. 0 novels. So my priorities are straight. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, you better work on that.
Okay. Well, let's jump into our usual. Oh, no, wait. Hold on, Ariel. I'm getting ahead of myself. I didn't talk about the fact that we're really excited to make the 100th episode, not only because it's going to be an exciting milestone, and I feel like if we quit after episode 100, this was a successful podcast, right? Like, if you do 100 episodes of a podcast, we did it, but I will say we have no plans of quitting before everyone, like, a mass exodus happens and everyone's like, oh, it's done. It's not done. It's not. Stay here. We have bigger plans. But we are going to be doing a very special episode. We're going to kind of try and do a bunch of the best things from the past and shove them into one big episode. We have some secret surprises that will happen that we can't tell you about right now. Mm-hmm. But we want to do two segments in the episode, a debate and a Q&A, and we need your help. So if you're a patron, we'll ask you there on Patreon. If you're not, we're also going to ask on Instagram. So we'll have two places that we'll pull from, so you have no excuse not to submit. We haven't done that many debates. I think we've only done two, right? One or two?
We've only done one.
Really?
That was crazy. A raging success, and then we never did it again because we couldn't think of something that we disagreed on as much as deckled edges versus regular edges. Like, we haven't been able to come up with something that good.
It's true. So we would love your guys' suggestions on a debate you want to hear Raylene and I have. And it's okay if you don't know, like, what Raylene and I have and, like, what we disagree on. Just, if you have an idea for a fun debate, what could be paperbacks versus hardcovers? Well, it can't be that, because I already said that out loud now. But, like, you know, think of a bookish thing, of a debate we could have, and give us your suggestion. So, like I said, check out on the Instagram for that. A post will come out in the next few days asking for that. And then also, if you have any questions, because we're going to do a little Q&A segment, maybe answering, like, the kinds of questions... if we get a lot of the same questions and stuff, I think we do, and we just haven't ever really done a Q&A episode. So there you go. It's exciting. It's going to be a fun episode. We have all sorts of silly fun plans for that boy. And now is it time to move? I think it is.
I think you did it all.
All right. So let's start with, if we've finished anything, which I sort of have. In a way.
Really?
I mean, I have, but you already know about it because it was in our movie.
Oh, true.
So I guess I'll just start off by saying I read Upstream by Mary Oliver. Okay. What can I say here? This is an interesting situation because this is a book I've had for a while. I've mentioned it on the pod, I think, a couple of times. Mm. And I really thought it was going to be like a 5 out of 5 star book. It turned out to be more of like a 3.8 out of 5 star book. Ooh. I liked some of the essays a lot. Like, some of the essays, I don't have the book on me right now. It's in a bag. It's in this bag that I shove full of the 14 books I've purchased, the 4 books I brought, and the other 3 that I've got. I've got problems is what I've got in that bag. But anyways, I think the thing has, let's say it has like 15 essays, probably like 4 of them, 5 out of 5 stars. Incredible.
Yeah.
Top notch. Classic Mary Oliver. And then a large swath of them I liked, but I didn't love. And then there were a couple that I literally skimmed. I was like, oh man, this is boring. And so it was just very interesting because I guess I didn't know what her writing style would be like. And it makes perfect sense. She's... I have this theory that Mary Oliver is secretly... Anne of Green Gables. Like, she's like got some wacky tales in here where she's like, I made friends with a family of ducks. I would lay on the ground closer and closer to them until the little duck babies would jump all over my body.
Like, okay, that's
but
great.
Then she also had a story where she like watched a turtle bury, like, lay eggs and bury them. And then she, like, turtles leave their eggs. Do you know about this, Raylene?
Yeah.
I don't know how much you know about turtle life.
Yeah, I don't know a little.
But, like, they will bury their eggs in, usually in sand near water, and then they ditch them. They're not like, you know, they're not like birds that will, like, sit on the eggs. They're reptiles, so they don't need to be hot, I guess. But, like, Sorry, I just laughed because sometimes I find myself in these ridiculous situations. I'm like, why am I explaining turtle biology to the hundreds of people? I don't know. But anyway.
There's definitely a reason.
So this turtle laid the eggs and left. And then the turtles never returned to the eggs, so they don't really know their children. I'm sure Mary's written a poem about that too. But anyway, she saw this turtle lay her eggs, and then she came back the next day, dug up the eggs, took half of them, and ate them. I was like, Mary. You know what? It was sort of like it's sort of like Wild, where we were like, why are you telling us this horrible thing?
Yeah, like, I don't need to know about this.
I thought it was very interesting, but like, it's not good or bad. It's just neutral, right? Like, it's just a human eating food. It's not, and they weren't born yet. She didn't kill them. You know what I mean? Like, they were still just eggs. They weren't yet. Because she talks about, like, what the consistency was like, and was it like normal chicken eggs? And it was, she was like, you know, they had like a slightly different flavor. They weren't as good as chicken eggs, but they also weren't, like, she didn't open it and there was a turtle inside or anything. It wasn't anything yet. But I was just like, that's, do you know what I mean? Like, she's like a true nature nerd. It was so interesting. Yeah. It was so interesting. She had this one essay called Blue Pastures, which I think is an incredible name, about all the fish she's like ever seen. She's like, one time I saw this fish, and then another time I saw this fish, and I was like, what's gonna be the point of this essay? No point. Just her talking about all the fish she's ever seen, which again is like very Anne of Green Gables to me, where she's just like, she also told this tale about when she was a kid, she would build structures in the woods out of like branches and stuff. I was like, of course you did. So yeah, anyway, like I said, there were some essays I really liked. There were some really beautiful lines, because she is a poet. So there's some lines in there that I was like, have to highlight this. Beautiful, beautiful. But overall, I didn't like them as much as I like her poetry. I felt like her poetry is like a filter or a sieve for her thoughts. And the essays let her go on tangents, which is great. Like, do it. But I like her distilled things more, I guess. But I'm still really glad that I read it, because that was a mashed potato book for sure. And that was part of the movie that Raylene and I released for our patrons. So that's why you already knew I read it.
I did.
But I did. I read another book this year. I'll tell you what, this is not my greatest reading year. But we're technically only halfway through.
Yeah, you still got time.
It's August 2nd, so there's still, like, exactly 6 months of the year to go. Mm-hmm. Who knows what's going to happen? I certainly don't. All right, Raylene, what did you read?
Yeah, well, I guess I can quickly go over the books that I read for our movie as well, because I haven't talked about them on the podcast yet. So I read Franny and Zoe by J.D. Salinger, which was really good. I really enjoyed that. Yeah. It was a great read. Very, very Salinger-esque, if that's a word. If you love The Catcher in the Rye, you'll love this book. Like, it's along the same lines, but it's about a family. Franny and Zoe are brother and sister, which I had no idea about going into this book.
That is so scandalous.
It was the most shocking thing about the entire book to me. I was like, wait, what? I just assumed Franny and Zoe were both, like, 16-year-old girls in high school.
So did I.
Not even in high school either. They're brother and sister, and they're in their 20s. And I was just like, what? What? So that was shocking, but really, really good. I really enjoyed it. It kind of read like a play almost, in that there were like basically individual scenes. Like, you would just see like one scene for maybe 30 pages, then it would move on to a different scene. And it all came together to be this really weird kind of cool book. So I do really enjoy that book. And then I also read The Glass Hotel by Emily St. John Mandel. This was a book that you sent me, and I've been meaning to read for over a year now, because you sent me an ARC before the book came out, but I failed to read it. And it wasn't very good, unfortunately. I didn't really like it. It was very dull. There were too many, like, there was a lot of different kind of plot lines going on, but none of them were interesting. Yeah. Unfortunately, so there wasn't really much for me to hold on to with that book. Like, I can't think of anything really that I enjoyed. Like, it was a quick read. It read quickly. Kind of dull and boring, it did read quickly and was engaging, at least in some degree. So I don't know. Just not really my book, unfortunately, but it is what it is. And gosh, man, you're about to hear the next two books that I just finished recently Oh. Were also disappointing.
No!
Oh, I'm just like, you know, I think what? I need to read John Green's new book next to, like, rejuvenate myself. Also because it's a hardcover and I have to read it in the next 2 weeks. but that's besides the point. So I did finish The Chosen and the Beautiful by Nevo.
You know what? I knew you weren't going to like it. Just it from... Was- From the beginning, like when
why
you,
do you say that?
I'm curious. When you described it at the beginning of the year, when you were like, "This is an exciting book," I thought it sounded really cool, but I didn't realize it was young adult, and I was like,
is it?
"Oh, well, it's is it sort
it doesn't,
of?
Young it doesn't really read as young adult."
Oh, okay, okay. Scratch that.
And it was $37. So that's oh my god, the regular price range. But then, Jesus, I didn't realize it was that much.
Once you actually started reading it, and because you did an update for it when you were like on page 30 or something,
yes,
and you were like, "There's like all this magic stuff happening," and there's, and I was like, "Oh no, I'm getting a bad feeling from it," and I'm not surprised. I am sad though, because I know you were excited about it.
It is sad. It was just so weird because so much of it was, like I said in my first update, is just like directly out of The Great Gatsby. And so plot-wise, it follows basically the exact same plot as The Great Gatsby.
Right.
So it's like, I always know what's going to happen next, but there's just like a random dash of weirdness thrown in to make it slightly different. And
that's weird.
It's just like, it was so uninteresting. And Jordan Baker is the main character. And I love her in The Great Gatsby. Like, she's this great side character.
Yeah,
who's very, like, witty and just, like, super fun to have around.
Yeah.
But in this version, she was just very, like, vapid. And all she cared about was, like, sleeping with every person she met. And it was just strange. Like, it didn't feel like the same character. Obviously, it's not the same character. Like, it's a different book.
Ooh, that's real risk. That's a risk when someone's writing an old, like, a classic character. They can do whatever they want.
They can do whatever they want. And I just didn't like what they did with her. And, like, she didn't even golf once in the whole book, and like, she's a golfer. That really bothered me.
That is bothersome, because that's what it's like, one of the reasons that she's so cool in The Great Gatsby. It's a time when women really weren't famous for sport.
Yeah,
and like, she's literally known random cool as a golfer. Famous golfer. So it is, that's weird.
It's just strange. It wasn't what I hoped for it to be. And while it did have magic and stuff thrown in, there honestly wasn't that much of it.
Okay,
so it kind of just felt like a really weird, slightly tweaked version of The Great Gatsby that just took away all the like things that I loved about The Great Gatsby. So unfortunately, that was not a good one. So I'm hoping that my last pre-order that I got for the year, Malibu Rising, hopefully that one is good.
Because what was the
Clara
other one?
And the Sun was good.
Clara, right. That one turned out great.
So far I've got a hit and a dud and then one more, and I'm hoping that one pulls through for me. So the last book I wanted to mention is one that I just finished, like, 20 minutes ago before we started recording.
Good for you, man.
I had to speed read the ending because I just really wanted to finish it before we recorded. And that book is Ray Bearer by Jordan Ifueko.
Oh my god, you read that so fast.
Yeah, I was like halfway through it yesterday when we talked. But sadly, I wasn't the hugest fan of this one either.
God damn.
Really enjoyed the beginning. Like, the beginning, the first 100 pages or so. It was, I mean, some people would say it's info dumpy, because it kind of is. There's just a lot of, like, world building and learning the magic system and getting to know the main character's history, kind of, because when the book starts out, she's like 10 years old, and then it kind of catches you up to when she's about 16 within those first 100 pages, and so it kind of gets her established. But so the first 100 pages or so were really great, and I was like, okay, I feel like we have a good foundation for the book now. Now let's jump into the plot. And then I didn't like the plot.
God damn it.
So that was super unfortunate. I really, really wanted to love this book, because I think the magic system was very cool and the world was very cool.
Right.
But I just didn't care for the plot. I found it to be quite boring, and it fell into kind of a lot of YA traps, where it's like something bad would happen, but then within a few pages, the problem would just be gone. There was no like urgency to the plot, because I felt like if something bad happens, it doesn't matter.
You knew it would get solved. Right.
Yeah, exactly. I just know that everything is basically going to be fine. Some shocking things did happen near the end, though. So I'll say the ending is like, whoa, like, it definitely leads into the second book pretty well. You are wanting to read the second book, which I definitely won't be, because I am just not interested anymore. But I think I still would recommend it to people who like fantasy, because it is a very, very interesting world that's been set up. So... Now, I just really want to read a great book. I really just want to read a great book, man. What do I do?
That's a real I don't know. That hasn't happened in a long time where you've read 3 bad books in a row. Christ.
I know. I think I need to just pick something random. I think I've kind of fallen into a trap where I've like picked all the books I want to read and then I read them and I'm like, I don't want to read this anymore. So I don't know. I have to shake it up and choose something crazy next. I don't know what I'll do.
Gosh. Okay. Well, I mean, I guess that is our next question is what are you currently reading? Have you started anything?
Yeah, I mentioned to you a couple days ago that I started rereading something, but I wouldn't tell you what it was.
Oh my god, yes! I'm so curious. I've been dying to know.
Okay, it's very exciting. So, I decided to start rereading Station 11.
That is really exciting.
Yeah, wow. So I'm actually listening to this on audiobook because I realized I hadn't listened to an audiobook in a little while, and I love having something that I can just listen to while I'm cross-stitching or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it is so good. It's already so good. And especially, it's fun that I just read The Glass Hotel recently, because now reading this, like, I can definitely see parallels between the two. Like, you can tell they're written by the same person, but this one is just so much better.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, and I'm absolutely loving it. Like, it's so good. It's been years since I read it, so there's so many things I've forgotten about. Like, even just in the first 50 pages or whatever that I've read, I'm like, oh, I forgot about that thing. Oh, man, this is crazy.
Yeah.
So, I'm really enjoying it, and, yeah. I mean, that's all I've got. I'm really excited to be reading it again.
That's such an awesome pick. I'm really glad. Well, maybe your salvation is to go on a little binge of rereading great books. Because
that's actually
if idea. You recall, at the beginning of the year, you really wanted to reread. That was like a big goal. So maybe this could be the summer of rereads. I guess we're mostly done this summer. Maybe the fall of rereads.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm really... Now, that makes me want to reread it, goddammit.
You should.
I am currently reading A Psalm for the Wild Built by Becky Chambers. I have a couple of things to say here. Number one, I'm supposed to be reading On a Sunbeam by Tilly Walden because I failed to read a book, so you got to pick my next book. But then I went on vacation, and that book is so big. Like, not even just kind of big. It's massive.
And it's heavy because it's a graphic novel.
Yeah, so it's heavy.
Extra heavy paper.
I was like, you know what? I'm not going to travel with this book. That's ridiculous.
But now also, you have 14 books in your bag.
Exactly. But, well, that was the thing, though. I was like, I'm also going to buy a bunch of books.
You already knew that was going to happen.
I was like, I'll read this. It'll be the first thing I read when I come home, but I'm not going to read this. So anyway, this is one of the books that I've bought while out on the... here in Ontario, and I bought this book actually because somebody either on Instagram or Discord recommended it to me. I really tried to find who it was, and I'm sorry to the person. You deserve a shout out, and I can't find your name, but the person who recommended it to me was like, this is kind of, you know, like a Stardew Valley alternative living kind of book, which is something we've talked about before. It's very, very short. It's 147 pages.
Perfect.
And it's got like a nice sized font. That's important.
Yeah, of course.
And the beginning is really cool. So I don't really get what the book's about. It's the one thing that made me almost not buy it is that it's the beginning of a series. But if all of the books are going to be really short, maybe that's okay. What people can't see right now is that I'm literally just horizontally laying in bed, and Raylene's got this like insane angle of me. I'm sorry, Raylene.
I love it.
My back hurts and I'm tired. I'm just like,
Unbound relaxed edition.
Books Unbound reclined.
Supine.
The book has such a cool start. The prologue begins: if you ask 6 different monks the question of which godly domain robot consciousness belongs to, you'll get 7 different answers. And it's so, you're already off to kind of a joking start.
Yeah.
But then it talks about how there were all of these robots, kind of like, I can't tell what year this book takes place in, but it feels very near future. Do you know what I mean? Like, cool. 50 years from now.
Yeah, it's like around the corner.
100 years. Yeah, exactly. So basically, there were all these robots that were built in order to... I mean, basically like what we're doing now. Robots to help us do things that humans can't do or make it faster or whatever. But basically, robots all woke up, or here it says, the fact that machines seemingly no more complex than a pocket computer suddenly woke up for reasons no one then or since has been able to determine. So all of them kind of gained consciousness, mm-hmm. and then they decided to leave. They wanted to go to the forest. They wanted to live in the wild. All the robots were like, we want to live somewhere that is not man-made. We don't want to have anything to... Because I guess, like, robots are man-made. And they're mm-hmm. like, we want to go to a place that isn't man-made, isn't influenced by men, is just the wild. So they all go to the woods. And so you get the idea that this happened a while ago. Because then chapter one is about a monk named Sibling Dex. Okay, so part of this, like, I'm having this, like, existential woe where I'm just like, I forgot what it was like to read fantasy, where you're just supposed to pretend that you are okay with people being called Sibling Dex, and I'm just like, oh boy. I'm just not good at this yet, but I think I'm gonna enjoy it. But basically, yeah, you have this monk character who's part of some order I don't really understand yet. And if you can see on the cover here, really, do you see that the monk is on, like, a little caravan?
Yeah.
So the monk is, I think they're non-binary because all of the pronouns are they, them. And they also have, like, other people in the order who they're calling, like, Sister Raylene and Brother Connor. But then it's their sibling.
Oh, that's Dex. Why their name is Sibling.
Yeah, so I think that they're non-binary. But anyways, they get on this, they decide they want to leave and they want to go live in the wild. They, like, they're sick of the city. They don't want to live in the city anymore. So they get this, like, little caravan trailer thing and they're going to go out into the wild. But I haven't read very far into it, so I don't know what's going to happen, but it says on the front cover, it says, A Monk and Robot Book. So I think that's the name of the series. Clearly, a robot is going to come out of the woods to talk to Sibling Dex. And I don't know what they're going to do together, but something's going to happen. So far, it does have a very, like literally the first chapter is like this kind of weird philosophy about why did the robots go to the wild. And then chapter one is a monk being like, I don't want to be in the city anymore. I want to go to the wild. So it definitely has that, like, alternative living vibe. Yeah, and I'm liking it. Yeah, it does sound nice. So it's kind of a fun read. I'm reading it because it's hardcover and I have to.
You have to do it. But that's good because otherwise it's like, who knows how long you might have waited to read this book. And it might be wonderful.
I might love it. What if this is a new favorite? I'd love that. Becky Chambers seems really, really cool. I actually weirdly felt emotional. Every night we would get home when we were staying in Toronto, and I would say to Connor, can I do a book haul? And he'd be like, of course. So just so you know, if you date me, you get custom book hauls all the time. And so I was like, I will always, like, tell him about the book, and then I'll read the first page, and then we'll look, I'll sometimes, like, look at the author bio. Mm-hmm. So Becky Chambers, you know, has an interesting bio, but then the last line of her bio is, she hopes to see Earth from orbit one day. And I don't know why, but that made me really emotional. I was like, oh my god, I really, really want her to see Earth from orbit one day too. Like, really.
What do we need to do to get her in space?
I know, what do we need to do? Like, slide her secretly into Jeff Bezos's crazy space adventure. If you're already going up there, do you mind taking Becky Chambers?
It's her dream. Hello.
Excuse me, sir. It's her dream. And it has become mine too.
That's super cute.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm enjoying that. Okay. It's time for the book haul.
Yeah, why not?
How many books do you have to haul today, Raylene?
I have four to show you.
Okay, I have three. So you start and we'll alternate.
Sounds good. Okay, so first off, I'll start with one that you will probably find most exciting.
Mm.
I got Death in Her Hands by Otessa Moshfegh. Yes, I did it.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, the other day I had to go get some groceries on my lunch break, and there just so happens to be a bookstore really close to the grocery store, close to where I work. So I was like, I have some time. I'll just go have a look. And went a little nuts because they just happened to have, like, a bunch of books that I had been looking for and wanting. Like, it's a really great bookstore. They have exactly everything that I always want. So, yes. Yeah, so now I have almost every single Otessa Moshfegh. I just need to get, what's it called, McGlue?
Yeah, that's the one I got last
year. Yeah, so I need to get that one, and then I will have them all. And then I think I might just go nuts and binge them all. I don't know why I feel like I need to own them all before I can start, but that's just...
that happens.
That's a story for a different time.
I feel like we have to, we should buddy read one, right? Like,
I think we should.
We should
I
stop really being stupid, really, and we should buddy read them.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I will start with, I can't even believe that I own this book. Not only that I own it, but that it exists and that I found it. I'm so excited. Okay, let me take you all on a tale. This book is called The Union of Synchronized Swimmers by Kristiina Sandu. She is a Finnish author. This book was translated to the English by a Canadian press. And last week at the end of our episode, at the end of our book haul episode, we talked about how we were going to answer a question for our mini Patreon podcast. And the question was basically like, Ariel, you like sports books. What Olympic sports books would you want to read? Yeah. And so me and Raylene just made up some books just for fun. And I was like, well, I think it'd be very cool to get a, what was the first one that I did? I forget.
Skateboarding.
Oh my God. And I stand by that too. But anyways, I was like, it'd be cool to do a skateboarding book. And then Raylene, you said figure skating or gymnastics. And I was like, the other one that I would love would be a synchronized swimming book. And so what I did was I invented why I justified why I thought it would be super cool. And I was like, first of all, it's a team sport. Like it's like a really tight team where they literally all have to be synchronized, like identical. So there must be drama there, right? I was like, you have a bunch of girls with like trying to get to the Olympics. I was like, that would be such an interesting dynamic for the characters. Secondly, I love the idea of this really bizarre sport. Like, guys, I've got to emphasize, it's incredible. I love watching synchronized swimming. Like, that's why it came to me. But let's be honest. It's kind of a strange sport. like it's a wacky concept. It's incredible. It's like
water dancing, but perfectly synchronized, which never happens in any other dancing.
Exactly. Water dancing, so perfectly synchronized. You're upside down the whole time. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. It's incredible, though. Like, I think it might be my favorite sport to watch at the Olympics, just because I watch them do these things, and I'm like, how? I literally don't get how you do that. So I was just like, it would be cool to learn more about this sport. Like, such a random sport that, like, is definitely one of the more obscure sports. So for those reasons, and I probably listed some others, I was like, I think that a synchronized swimming book would be so cool. Okay. The next day, we go to a bookshop in Toronto. My favorite bookshop in Toronto. Type Books. On Queen Street West, and I was about to tell a side quest. It doesn't matter. We had to take a bus to get there, and I hate buses, but it turned out, like, it was farther than I thought. The walk is always farther to get to that bookshop. But anyway, we get there, and I'm just looking around. At this point, I've bought 14 books, so I'm just, like, being a lot more picky. I'm like, I don't need more books. I'm just gonna see if I can find something cool. And this book is very thin, okay, really? And this book only has 110 pages, so I barely saw it on the shelf. It wasn't facing out.
Oh my God,
but I saw, out of the corner of my eye, I saw the words synchronized swimmers. And I was like, no. Like, you should have... It was like suddenly the world went into slow motion. My arm extended towards the one copy of this book. I don't even think they had two in the store. I pulled it down and I looked at this literally incredible cover.
It's very
good. I was like, what is this? Please, please, please be a novel, right? I was like, please be a novel. The Union of Synchronized Swimmers. I was like, is this going to be like a history of the Marxist approach to synchronized swimming? I don't know. I flip it over and it says the tagline, "It's summer behind the Iron Curtain, and six girls begin a journey to the Olympics, but will they return?" And I was like, I died. Raylene, I died.
Somehow you summoned this book into existence.
I manifested it, and I don't believe in manifestation.
It was right where you were going, which is so unlikely.
I just can't believe it. So it's about a six-girl team of synchronized swimmers. There are, it says here on the back, the wrong side of the rivers of East and West Germany. And so they're working really hard to try and get into the Olympics. And then it says at the end of the synopsis, it says, one day it finally happens. Their visas arrive. So, like, not only are they trying to get into the Olympics, it also has the added weight and pressure of, like, this is a ticket to freedom for them from East Germany. And I'm just like, that is the only element I would have added. Political trauma, you know? Yeah. Like, that is so... I remember when I was a kid, I was watching the Olympics with my mom, and she was explaining to me that a lot of athletes will escape their countries through the Olympics. Did you know about this?
No, I didn't know that.
I know, a lot of people don't know about that, and it's kind of a very interesting set of situations or scenarios, but basically, like, a lot of people will... that they'll go to the Olympics, they'll compete in their sport, and then they'll ask for asylum from their country. So it's like a way for them to get out of their country. So I've always thought that was interesting since my mom told me that as a kid. And now I have a book about that. That's about I'm just freaking out. I'm sorry, everyone. I'm going to talk about this book for 30 minutes. It's got beautiful end papers.
Ooh,
it's amazing. And I like that it's published by a Canadian publisher, so... you know what? Even if it's a terrible book, I still love this book.
It's a great story. Like, just the way that you came by it, the timing of everything was just insane.
I know. I can't believe it. Well, Raelian, what do you have next? Can't possibly top that, but it could be cool.
It's true. the next book that I have is Medicine Walk by Richard Wagamese.
Oh my god, I have almost bought this book like 6 times. Yeah.
Really, really, really. That's hilarious. So this one, I've been kind of hunting for this one for a while because I bought Starlight by Richard Wagamese a little while ago.
Yeah.
Only to discover that it's kind of like an unofficial sequel to
this
book.
Exactly. That's why
I didn't realize when I got it, but the main character in this book is the same main character as in that book, but he's just like older. He's much older in that book. So I was like, you know what? I should really read Medicine Walk first. So I've been like holding off on reading that book until I could find this one. And I have not been able to find a used copy. So I was like, oh, screw it. I'm just going to buy a new one. So I'm really excited. This one, I think, is very nature-y, which seems very cool. One of my friends read it and she was like, it just really like walks you through the nature of BC and it's really beautiful just like a nice experience. So I'm like, that sounds really cool. So I'm excited to hopefully read this one really soon.
I obviously read Indian Horse by him, and I've talked about that loads on the podcast. Mm-hmm. I know you've also read it.
Yeah.
But when I read that book, I was like, wow, this is incredible. I definitely want to read more by this author and classic, like, just like every other author. I just haven't read any other ones by him. So if you read those kind of in the next little while, I'll be super excited because I don't know what book to go to next of his. He has a few.
Yeah, I own three of them now, so I better get going.
yeah. Okay, so you have Starlight, Medicine Walk, and what's the other one you own?
Ragged Company.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, I don't know where to go next, so that would be cool to find out.
Yeah, I will let you know. I'll be your guide.
Be my eyes. okay, let's see. The next book I got, this was a real impulse purchase, okay? We were going to leave the shop soon, and I was holding this book, and I was like, you know what? I don't know if I want to get this. I don't know what this is. I'm going to put it back on the shelf. But as I was putting it back on the shelf, I was like, I don't want to put this back on the shelf. I want to buy it. So I bought it.
Okay.
it is called... It's kind of confusing, because I couldn't tell which... It's the name of the book is the name of the characters. I don't know about this author, so I didn't know which one was the author name and which one was the character. But I think I confirmed here, yeah. The author is called Juan Rulfo, and the character, the title of the book, is Pedro Paramo. So, it sounds really good, really. It says, a masterpiece of the surreal... This stunning novel from Mexico depicts a man's strange quest for his heritage, beseeched by his dying mother to locate his father, Pedro Paramo, whom they fled from years ago. Juan Preciado sets out for Comala, which is a town. So it seems like it's got this like magical realism, surrealism thing going on. Mexican, which I thought was really cool because I'm always looking to read more Central American books. By the way, controversial whether or not Mexico is part of Central America or not. It seems like it is in my head, but I understand, obviously, that it's also part of North America. There's a blur there. Central America is very interesting because sometimes it's attached to North America and sometimes people think of it as South America. So
yeah,
everyone can debate that on their own time. And but yeah, it's also cool because it says first published to critical and popular acclaim in 1955.
Ooh,
so it's an older book. Old. Yeah. And it says here that, like, it mentions Gabriel Garcia Marquez on the back and Carlos Fuentes and stuff. So I was like, okay, all right, I'm in. I'm also,
interesting.
The translator is Margaret Sayers Peden. That's kind of cool. I feel like, I don't think I've heard of her. Anyways, it seems cool. Also, very short. 125 pages, baby.
Hell yeah.
So obviously, Raylene and I really enjoy reading translated books, and we both really like magical realism stuff. So I thought, mm-hmm. This seems cool. Damn it. It's got a foreword by Susan Sontag, and I'm looking at the dates here. The book was originally published in 1955, and then this edition that was translated to English with this foreword came out in 1994. So we share a birthday with this book. Sort of.
Very cute.
All right. Yeah. Really, what's your next book? Your final book?
So no, my next one. I have two more. Yeah. So this one, my friend actually found for me at a thrift store. It was only $1. and that is The Overstory by Richard Powers.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought was fun because we were just talking about Richard Powers because his most recent book is Longlisted Nominated. For the Man Booker.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And this book actually won the Pulitzer Prize.
That's a really good find for $1, because that's a really good big book right now.
Yeah, actually, when I was at the bookstore that I bought these other books at, they had a bunch of copies of this sitting on the shelf, and I was like, I just got this for $1. So
my brother, CJ, who edits the podcast, really loves that book.
Yeah, that was kind of the main reason I got it. I don't know anybody else who's read it. I just know that CJ loves it, so I'm like, yeah, it's got to be good. Like, it's worth at least giving a try for $1. Why not?
Yeah, $1. I'm kidding.
Yeah, and this is another kind of nature-y one, and I've heard that, like, I looked up a couple of reviews, and a funny story on the back, it was shortlisted for the Man Booker Prize.
Wow.
But yeah, it's like has a bunch of kind of interlocking tales, and like I heard that has a really weird kind of storytelling style. Yeah. So I think that sounds really cool.
I really love the cover of it. I think it's very magical.
Yeah, on the back it says, from the roots to the crown and back to the seeds, the Overstory unfolds in concentric rings of interlocking fables. Whoa. That range from antebellum New York to the late 20th century timber wars of the Pacific Northwest and beyond.
Whoa.
So it's like a big one, ready, you know, it really covers lots. I think it sounds interesting. I probably won't read it anytime soon because I've got other books I'm more excited about, but it seems like one that I'm like excited to have one day. It's a chipmunk book, as we would call it.
Oh my god,
saving it for a rainy day.
You're squirreling it away. I love it. Oh my god, we have to keep using chipmunk book because I love that.
It'll become a thing sooner or later.
Actually, you know what? I think this next book that I got is a chipmunk book. Absolutely.
Oh, interesting.
So the final book I bought the last day that we were in Toronto. We had just finished eating this pasta for the third time. We got this pasta randomly this one day, and then I went there again on my own, and then we went there again this third time. Like, I just really loved the pasta. But anyway, it was right next to the big Chapters or Indigo at Bay and Bloor, if anyone is from Toronto. But anyways, we were in there, we had dinner, and then we realized that Chapters was open for another 15 minutes, and we were what the hell? It's worth it. We'll go in. Just the smell of Chapters makes me happy. So we went in and I was like, you know, picking some books up, looking around. And then I saw this book and I was mainly honestly just, I loved this edition. So it's A Handful of Dust by Evelyn Waugh. I think it's so freaking cute.
It's a great edition.
Yeah. It's one of the Penguin Essentials. I think this is what my Lolita cover is as well. But yeah, I really like these copies. And so I was like, wow, what a cute cover. I've never read anything by Evelyn Waugh, but I keep meaning to. And I was like, he's one of those. By the way, I thought Evelyn Waugh was a woman until I was like 25. So
yeah, I know. I had that same problem. As a teenager, I was like, she?
Yeah,
someone
exactly.
was like, he's a man. I was like, oh God.
Yeah, you can trust the YouTube comments to yell at you.
Yeah.
But anyways, I picked this up because of how cute it was. And then I read the back of it, and it sounds so great. It reminded me of that Gatsby rich vibe. It says, beautiful Lady Brenda last lives at Hetton Abbey, a crumbling gothic monstrosity that is her husband Tony's pride and joy. Bored and restless after 7 years of marriage, she drifts into an affair with a worthless young socialite. Abandoning the country for the glamorous yet shallow London scene, Brenda imagines divorce will bring happiness. Instead, she and Tony feel lost and isolated, victims of the reckless times in which they live. I just thought it sounded like such a classic old book, you know?
Yeah, I love that.
And so I started reading the first few pages, and it felt really fun and a little silly. Apparently, Evelyn Waugh is quite satirical and ironic. So yeah. I just thought that it sounded like fun, but it's definitely not a book I plan on reading soon. It's a squirreling away.
It's a nice one to have.
It's really cute. So I'll definitely share a photo of that guy on the Instagram.
Fantastic.
Well, okay. You have one more, right?
I've got one more.
Great.
So yes, yeah, so this one, I'm not sure if you'll have heard of this one. It's actually a trilogy of books, of memoirs, and I got the bind up. Yeah, I know. So it's called Childhood Youth Dependency by Tove Ditlevsen. And this is the cover. It's quite cute.
No clue what this is, but I love that cover.
It's very beautiful. It's like the Penguin Modern Classics edition, which this is one of my favorite series of classics.
Definitely.
I'm obsessed with these editions.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you get, there are also really beautiful editions of them separate, but they're like really tiny. Like the first one is, I think, 90 pages.
Okay, yeah.
And so it's like a very, very short kind of little series of memoirs. But yeah, the back kind of sums it up well. Following one woman's journey from a troubled girlhood in working-class Copenhagen through her struggle to live on her own terms, this is a searingly honest, utterly immersive portrayal of love, friendship, art, ambition, and the terrible lure of addiction.
That sounds so good.
Yeah, and I should say it's translated by Tina Nunnally and Michael Favala-Goldman, so it's not a translated one. And this one's just been on my radar for a while. A few people whose reviews I trust have read the first one, at least, and really enjoyed the first book. So I was like, I've just been intrigued by this. I've discovered that I really enjoy memoirs. Like reading Wild really awakened that in me again.
Yeah.
I really like reading about people's lives. Like that to me is really,
really
cool. So this one, I don't know too much about the specifics of like what happens and what's going on here, but I'm really excited to have that one. I saw it on the shelf at the store and I was like, yes,
what
are the chances that I would find this random, random book? But
that sounds
I'm super
really
happy to have
good.
It.
I want it. Give it.
No. It's fine.
Have you seen that little really old meme where a guy is like, it's like a little cartoon and he's like, I made this, and then the other guy takes it from him and he's like, I made this.
I think I might have seen that, but I can't remember.
I love that little cartoon. Anyways, a happy memory.
It's mine now.
Okay, it is time for book news. So today's book news is a little bit old because I gathered it a while ago, and then we won't even talk about the technical issues we've had, hence why you guys have been getting some pretty random, but to be fair, fun episodes.
Yes, true.
But this first piece of news is actually kind of even better today because you keep talking about Emily St. John Mandel.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of news about her next book, which is very exciting. And I'm just trying to pull up her Instagram here, and Google's not helping me out. Of course, I don't want to go on her website. come on. Come on, Google. Right. Okay. So the book is called Sea of Tranquility. We have a cover, and it's beautiful.
Simple,
stunning.
But beautiful. I
stunning.
Like it.
I love it. And we also have the UK cover, which I would say is a total disappointment. Next.
Yeah, that looks like a weird self-help book or something. It looks like a spiritual self-help book.
That's
I don't like
exactly
it.
Exactly what it looks like. But she writes on her Instagram. Well, actually, this is shocking. She says, my sixth novel. What? So
sixth? Yeah, she has a few other books.
She
I
must
know that
have
she has
three
a book
from before Station 11. That's so interesting. I didn't
That's
know about
true.
That. My sixth novel is called Sea of Tranquility. It will be published next April. So it's not that far away. It's less than a year away. And she says, Sea of Tranquility is about time travel, pandemics, work, long book tours, family, and the simulation hypothesis. A friend told me to stop referring to the book as deranged, but look, I wrote it in 2020. So, there you go. She told us
that. That sounds fun. I'm really excited to see all the books that have come out of
the pandemic, basically. Yeah,
like, specifically because of the pandemic.
100%. Cool to
see all the different takes and, like,
I totally agree. I totally agree. We know she wrote it during the pandemic, and she's mentioned that it will actually touch on the pandemic, which is obviously what she's most known for, is her pandemic book. So I think that, I mean, I know I'm very excited for this one. She is Canadian, right?
Yep.
Yes. She was born in BC. Am I crazy? Comox.
Yeah, I think she was born in BC and then...
Comox? Do you know this place?
Comox?
Comox. British Columbia.
That's how you say it.
I don't know.
I've never been there. Don't know where it is.
Never been there either. But yeah, but she lives in New York. Classic. Mm. Classic author. Abandoned.
We lost her. We lost her. New York.
So anyway, that's exciting news. We got a lot more details about, I think I might have mentioned that like last year that we got an inkling that it was happening, but now we have all these details. I definitely encourage people to go look at the cover because it's beautiful. Okay, our next piece of news. Stephanie Perkins. Stephanie, hello. Long time no here. Stephanie Perkins has a book called There's Someone Inside Your House. Which I never read. Did you read that book?
No. I did not.
That book, it came out quite a while ago, but it's being turned into a Netflix original series. Show? No, wait, hold on. I think it's just a movie. It's a film. A film. Ladies and gentlemen, breaking news. It is a film. But yes, I don't recognize any of the cast, but that doesn't mean anything. I'm not really up to date with what's cool and hip. The director also, I looked at their filmography. I don't recognize anything that they've done, but once again, they might be amazing. They might be a genius. Yeah, Patrick Bryce might be the best director of all time. But it does seem like he's done quite a few different horror projects. That's really good, because this is a slasher film. It says the graduating class at Osborne High is being targeted by a masked assailant intent on exposing the darkest secret of each victim, and only a group of misfit outsiders can stop the killings. So that's really fun. You and I both really love Stephanie Perkins, Anna and the French Kiss, Lola and the Boy Next Door. Those books were so important to us as teens.
Yeah, they really were.
So I'm just very
part of her lives.
Yeah, I'm really happy to see her success here and for her to have a Netflix film. That's so exciting. And also, maybe means one day we could get an Anna and the French Kiss movie.
Oh, it's so sad that hasn't happened yet.
I know.
It's always disappointing when an author has like a new series that becomes more important in the eyes of the public. It's like, but what about
but wait, go back. No.
It's kind of like how, it's like Jenny Han. It's like, but I want the Summer I Turned Pretty movie. Although I think that might be happening, or maybe making that up.
No, I talked about it before. It's happening.
Okay.
Remember there was big news, I'm not hallucinating. It was going to be filmed in Nova Scotia, but then because of the pandemic, they had to move back down. So that is totally happening. I think it's an Amazon Prime show, which I don't understand because the other books of hers are Netflix shows.
Yeah, why did that happen?
So that's interesting.
She's just covering all the different...
Covering all the platforms. That's so funny.
Just don't do Hulu next. Whatever you do, I won't be able to watch it.
Whatever you do, don't Hulu!
Jenny, listen to me!
Okay, so then this next piece of news, my final piece of news, is also movie news. I really don't think I've talked about this on the podcast, but god damn it, maybe I have. The Nightingale. Have we talked about The Nightingale?
No, oh, okay, I don't think great. So.
Have you read The Nightingale?
No, I mean, I started reading Kirsten it once, Hannah? And then I was like, this is so not my thing, so I stopped reading it. But I've heard nothing but good things about it. Like, it was the most popular book for such a long time.
It's still so big, I think. There's so many, it's a historical fiction about France during World War II. And there's something about it that it constantly intrigues me. I'm like, I keep almost buying this book, but there's a lot of reasons why I wouldn't. A, I don't read a lot of historical fiction. B, it's very long. And C, it's World War II related, which scares me. But I'm always intrigued by it, but I haven't ever actually read it or anything. But they're now, it's announced that they're making a movie version of it that's coming out next year. And what's so cool is I don't really know much about the book because I haven't read it, but it's about two sisters living in France. Mm-hmm. It is starring, this is so exciting, really. Starring Dakota and Elle Fanning.
Yes!
I love this news because I really love Dakota Fanning. I think Elle Fanning is wonderful. And I'm like, they've never played sisters, have they? Like, maybe when they were babies. I think maybe.
Well, they are in the English dubbed version of My Neighbor Totoro.
Yes. Yes, they
so
sure
there's
are.
That, but I don't know if they've played sisters in anything else.
Yeah, and I'm just like, they're both such amazing actresses now.
I love them.
I know. So I just feel like this is, I can't believe that they haven't been in a big movie together. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like it was a long time coming.
This is gonna be sweet.
I know. And
so we can just watch the movie because we're probably never going to read the book, but hopefully the movie will be good.
Yeah. So anyways, I just think that that sounds really cool and exciting. And it's being directed by someone named Melanie Laurent. And did she direct Inglourious Basterds? I think she did, which is a great movie. No, wait, she didn't direct it. She had something to do with it, though. She acted it. You know what? IMDb changed their user interface, and I am not a fan.
You can't handle it?
I'm very confused by what they're showing me. But anyway, she had something to do with Inglourious Basterds and Beginners, and Now You See Me. So she's done some bigger projects. But it just won't tell me what. It just says known for Inglourious Basterds, but then it doesn't matter. Maybe she's also an actress. So anyway, that seems like it's going to be really cool. I think we've also talked about how they're doing a Bell Jar. We've talked about that, right? A movie with Dakota Fanning.
Yeah.
But that like got really delayed. Who knows what's happening there?
Sad.
But yeah, there you go. That's my book news. What's your book old?
Ooh. Okay, so mine is one that I came across recently. It's not super old. This one came out in 2018.
Well, it's a book that I would say that's not old at all.
I mean, it's 3 years. It's not a new release. That's all that matters.
If it was a baby, it could talk.
He's still young. You're right. He's still young, but he's not a baby. It's a book. So this book is called Only Child by Rhiannon Navin. It sounds really cool. It sounds like it would be up the alley of anyone who enjoys Room by Emma Donoghue.
Okay.
Which is one of my favorite books, so I'm like dying to read this book. It's narrated by a 6-year-old boy, so it's kind of has that in common with Room, obviously. But here is the synopsis off of Goodreads. Squeezed into a coat closet with his classmates and teacher, first grader Zach Taylor can hear gunshots ringing through the halls of his school. A gunman has entered the building, taking 19 lives and irrevocably changing the very fabric of this close-knit community. While Zach's mother pursues a quest for justice against the shooter's parents, holding them responsible for their son's actions, Zach retreats into his super-secret hideout and loses himself in a world of books and art. Armed with his newfound understanding and with the optimism and stubbornness only a child could have, Zach sets out on a captivating journey toward healing and forgiveness, determined to help the adults in his life rediscover the universal truths of love and compassion needed to pull them through their darkest hours. And it has great reviews, has a 4.22 average rating on Goodreads. So
it sounds
really
overwhelmingly
positive. Yeah, it does sound sad, but I like being sad sometimes. So this book, it also says that it's perfect for readers of Jodi Picoult and Leanne Moriarty. If you enjoy stressful, if you enjoy being stressed out like Brenna Thumler, then this would be right up your alley. So Brenna, if you're listening, I recommend this book to you. So yeah, I'm just really excited about this one, but I had like literally never heard of it until recently. It's a hidden gem
By
the looks of things. So I don't know if I'll ever find it in a bookstore. I might have to order it, but I really want it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we did it. We updated you on our reading. That's what we've done. That's what we've talked about. That's what we've been reading. That's what's been happening. Yes. So the next time we record, I'll be back in Nova Scotia. I'll be able to say from coast to coast again.
Oh, I can't wait.
Feels wrong. It feels wrong to not be able to say that. But yes, this was very fun. Good time chatting with you, Raylene, seeing the books you bought. And I'm really excited that I got to share the Union of Synchronized Swimmers with everyone, because that's truly a boon. We are now going to go and record our Patreon mini podcast, where apparently we're going to go manifest some books. The question this week comes from Belinda, who asks, I'm not sure if this has been asked yet, but I know one of your reading goals for this year was to read more books published outside of the US. What are some countries you'd love to read from, and do you have any books from those countries in mind? If you don't have any books in mind, it'd also be fun to see you both come up with a list of them. So, oh yeah, she also mentions that there's a book club called Invisible Cities that made her think about this. So, there you go. Very We're gonna go talk about some translated books. And we will talk to you all next week. Goodbye. Bye.